for Refuah Shleimah for Tinuk ben Nechama Rivka. So we're discussing in Mechtam Eliyahu thoughts about Elul, Tshuva. So this next piece we're going to see is going to focus on mostly one essential point, which is the following. Now we focus a lot during Elul on making improvements, small improvements in Avodas Hashem, whether it be in certain mitzvos, keeping certain halachos, developing our midos, but there's always a focus to make some real tangible changes. Beyond that, there's an idea during Elul, Siras Mitzvah, to take on even, let's say, practices or chumras that we don't do the rest of the year. The Shulchan Aruch says there's a minog, a well-known minog, to keep Pas Yisrael during Siras Mitzvah. Even though you have no intent to do it afterwards, you didn't do it before, you won't do it after, you can go back to eating regular bread, during Siras Mitzvah you do Pas Yisrael. This is a major minhag brought down, which is commendable to do. And the question always is, well, what good is a practice of chumrah, astringency, if it's really, I'll call it meaningless, I mean, in a way that I don't feel any connection to it, I don't really plan to continue with it, I don't feel any deep emotional change in the fact that I'm keeping Pas Yisrael, I'm just doing it because I'm being a good person during the Siras Mitzvah and trying to be extra good, what does it mean to us? And beyond that, a lot of the changes that we try to push on ourselves in Elul, maybe we're not ready for them yet. Maybe we're just trying to make a small change because we're supposed to. It's the season. But we don't feel any big emotional upheaval within ourselves. We don't feel any deep connection to these changes. So are they really worthwhile? Are these changes worthwhile if I haven't yet reached the point that I feel emotionally changed within my inner self? So that's what he wants to address over here. So we're starting on page 57 on the copy. And he says, Mau erkam shel masim tovim chitzoniim shana osim mitoch hergel. What's the value of superficial external deeds that we do based on habit, v'chinuch, based on our training, b'shivbatu akar p'nim mesharatzim levos Hashem, if we don't express any deeper will, desire to fulfill Hashem's will? So this goes beyond Elul. In the regular everyday life of an observant Jew, we do a lot of different things which are appropriate practices and mitzvos and ma'asim tovim. Often, unfortunately, we don't feel connected to them. We do them because that's just what we're supposed to do. We get into these routines and habits, and is there value to that? Is there a value to doing these different routines and habits, which are positive habits, if I don't feel any interconnection to them? What's the value in that? So he says, "Masino shtit shuvos bedaver lechora sosus hen lezuzu." So Rav Dessler says that we find two approaches to this, which are seeming contradictory. We find in sources that some sources will say there's a very positive aspect in doing things by habit, even though you don't have any feeling in them. And some sources say, no, it's a terrible thing. How could you serve God, just give God lip service, as it were, and not have any emotion in it? And we have two very conflicting approaches in this. And we kind of feel them both. We feel it's good to have good habits, but it's also somewhat, we're being in a certain sense, very superficial. We are acting with contradictions in our lives because we don't feel what we're doing, in any emotional sense. So he's going to go through different sources on this and then apply it back to how it really applies to Elul. So we find on the one hand that these actions, these small, superficial actions that we don't feel any connection with, essentially, are positive. And he's going to quote actually three different reasons why these are positive things to do. Number one, Kvar biyarnu le'el bakdama le'elul. We've already explained in the introduction to Elul, which we skipped that part, but he explained this earlier. Shemaisim ke'ela anu makdimen es pnei ara, makbirnas kizukenu neged apshia shebechira. When you do actions that are good by habit, what you're doing is you're already one-upping, let's say, a challenge that come your way. And you're able then to make the right choices. Ki hergol hamasim nasa katris pnei yirida. Habits help us maintain our level. Let's give an example to this. Let's say somebody, let's just try to think of an example. Let's say you have somebody, let's take somebody who doesn't keep Shabbos, right? Somebody who is not observant doesn't keep Shabbos. So let's say they want to try to keep Shabbos, but it's not their habit. That's not their routine because they don't yet keep Shabbos. So every Shabbos becomes a struggle. Do I keep it? Do I not? Should I turn on the light? Not turn on the light. Should I take a shower? Not take a shower. Should I drive my car? Not drive my car. Because it's not a habit the person has, it's not their routine. So when it's not your routine, you have to make a choice. It's a decision each time. Let's say you have somebody who does keep Shabbos, and they've been doing it for many years. So even though that person may not have any, some weeks you may not feel that deep connection to Shabbos. Hopefully we do, but we don't always feel that connection. You're not making a decision each week, shall I keep Shabbos? Because it's just what you do. It's your habit. You have somebody who never focused at all on refraining from Lashon Hara. And now they want to start refraining from Lashon Hara. So every time they pick up the phone, have a conversation, they're going to struggle with it. Say it, not say it, say it, not say it. But if you've been pushing yourself for years not to speak about other people, and that's kind of the speech that you have, it's the way that you interact with others, is not speaking about others. You try to keep the focus on other topics, not on other people. So then saying Lashon Hara is taking you out of your routine. So it's not a major decision each time. Everyone's going to have their times where they say the wrong things. But it's not a struggle because you've already developed a good habit. When you have a good habit developed, even though you may not feel so spiritual and connected at the time you're doing it, maybe the habit's there. You're already one step ahead of the Yetzer Hara, because to break a habit is tough. So when you have good habits, then you don't break your good habits either. That's the reality of it. You know, if you have a child and they're not good at brushing their teeth, so if it hasn't become the child's habit to brush their teeth, it's going to be a fight every single night. Brush teeth? No, I don't want to. Brush teeth? I don't want to. But the child's been trained, before you go to bed, you brush your teeth, you go to bed. So then as long as it's part of the routine, even the child's not thinking about, you know, dental hygiene, not thinking about what could happen, but that's just part of the routine that they do. So it's not a struggle each night. So these small actions, even when we don't feel connected with them, they're very valuable because they become a shield from falling in our levels of serving Hashem. It's a tris b'fnei hayirida. It's a shield before yirida. We don't fall levels. It helps us maintain our level. There's a status quo in my life which is positive and good, and I don't have to struggle with those things on an active basis. So that's one reason why positive habits are good, despite the fact that they're done by routine and by habit. Beis. Od yoser mizeh. Furthermore, matzino b'mishnah de'avos yafet tamu torin derech eretz. It says in Avos that learning Torah along with Derech Eretz, along with, say, being involved in the physical world, they're very good together, because when you're involved in both, it forgets sin. Meaning that when your time is always filled in productive ways, when you're busy, you don't have time to sin. Even though maybe what we're talking about here is not any major mitzvahs that you're doing, you don't have any deep emotional feelings of serving Hashem, as long as your time is filled with positive things, it's a protection for you. You know, we know that nature abhors a vacuum, and that's certainly true when it comes to serving Hashem. When you have nothing to do with yourself, that's when you start doing things you shouldn't be doing. But as long as your time is filled in a productive way, then essentially, because you're busy, you're not thinking about things that you shouldn't be doing. You're doing things you should be doing. So even physical everyday activities, just being involved, you know, regular everyday life, you know, I'm busy at work, I'm busy taking care of my house, I'm busy cooking, I'm busy cleaning, I'm busy shopping. If you're busy, so then that's a big protection for Yitzhara. So whether these small actions are actions of a mitzvah, whether they're just everyday actions, just doing actions and being productive is a very positive shield before the Yetzer Hara. That's number two. So certainly a mitzvah habit, even though I don't feel emotionally connected, is good for me, because it keeps me busy with good things, and therefore I avoid the Yetzer Hara. Gimel, number three. Mimaisa mitzvahs greda, v'kol shekein lumina Torah kadosha. By doing any action of a mitzvah, and certainly by learning Torah, efshar shetitzmach gam b'pnimius mitoch chitzonius. It's very possible that you'll actually sprout, you will grow inner feelings from the outer shell. I mean, even though right now, let's say, somebody's Avodas Hashem is just a shell, they don't feel any inner connection. But the more you're involved in those routines, that allows you to sprout the inner connection. And this is the famous idea of Sefer HaChinuch, Achrei Pu'osim Shechanam Avavos, after actions come the hearts. And often the action has to be step one, and within that framework, the heart gets pulled along. It's important to look at it in this manner. There's a certain framework we have of Avodas Hashem. I mean, there's two extremes. You have one extreme is a person whose heart has all these deep spiritual feelings, but they don't keep halach in any way. So those feelings have no basis in terms of what's the real way to connect to Hashem and to do what's right, because they're not in the right framework. the person might think positive things, but the framework isn't there, then they're disconnected from the reality of serving Hashem. The other extreme is a person who does all the mitzvot, keeps halacha, but also has zero feeling in it. So that person is also a shell. It's very superficial. But that person at least has the framework in place that if they were to inject those feelings, the feelings are in the right place.
Sorry, I thought I just showed you.
No problem. But if you have the right framework, then eventually you can put feelings into that framework, and then you're there. Then you've made it. But if the framework isn't there, so then the feelings are floaty feelings with nowhere to go, and they're not being channeled in the right direction towards serving Hashem properly. So he says, number one, doing a mitzvah, learning Torah, from within that external action will come feelings. That's something which certainly can come out of the external actions. There's a famous quote in the Gemara, Redua Hetev Maimara, and we know the statement of Chazal, Olam Yasuk Adam Betorah Mitzvos Vafil Shlo Lishma. A person should learn Torah and do mitzvos even lo lishma, even for the wrong motivations. Shetok Shlo Lishma, Ba Lishma. Famous line, because within the lo lishma comes the lishma. Within the wrong motivations comes the right motivations. And once you're involved in doing actions and mitzvos and learning Torah, that will breed within the person the right feelings. Because the Torah is designed for that. The Torah has a power, there's electricity in Torah and mitzvos, which is supposed to spark within the Jew. The real feelings are supposed to be there. Having sukkahs without a sukkah and a lulav, it's very hard to get the feelings of sukkahs. But when you have your sukkah there, and you have your lulav there, and you're davening the feelings of sukkahs, then you can connect. Imagine, this is, I guess, a rough mashal. Imagine having Yom Kippur, but you don't step foot in a shul, you don't say any of the tefillos, you just sit there all day on a chair not eating anything. So it would be very hard to get in the mood. Even though you're following the halacha and the Torah 100% right, the davening is derabbanan, fasting is deraisa, but if you don't have like those outer trappings of Yom Kippur, it's very difficult to get in the mood. If you're able to make it to shul, or at least able to daven, have a little of the feeling, just the outer trappings of it, as it were. So then it's much easier to get the inner feelings as well, because you have that framework which is there to help you along. So Gimel is telling you that the lo lishma can bring to the lishma. Doing things with the wrong motivations, out of habit, because you want to be accepted amongst your friends and your society, because this is what your parents want you to do. Whatever motivation you have, from within that comes the good motivations as well. And we find the Yerushalmi, Masnu Girsu of Yerushalmi, the Talmud Yerushalmi says the following point. Lamed Torah filo l'shelo l'shma. Learn Torah, even l'shelo l'shma, for the wrong motivations. Shkeman sh'ata mis'asik ba, because once you're involved in Torah, ata chozer v'osa sal l'shma, it will then turn into l'shma. Eventually it will come to the right motivations. V'hayim sh'mitoch sh'mis'asik ba, because you're involved, nikvas kedusha s'Torah b'fnim adam. The kedusha of Torah enters into a person. So there's also a spiritual element of this. When you do a maaseh mitzvah, or you learn Torah, even though you don't feel connected on the spot, you are bringing kedusha into yourself. That's a reality. Every maaseh mitzvah injects kedusha into a person. And once you can inject kedusha into who you are, it changes you. It might be a long process. But if someone spends their whole life doing mitzvos, even without feeling, eventually there will be some inner connection made, because that's a result of doing mitzvos. Mitzvos are holy. Mitzvos have a ruchnistic element to them, which goes into a person. Or through the mitzvah, it's going to somehow inspire you from within and bring out the proper motivation. So this is the third point in why small superficial actions are positive. It's because the more actions you do, those actions will bring you to the right motivations. Whether it be psychologically, once you're involved, you're focused, whether it be spiritually, you're injecting kedusha into yourself, but eventually it all comes around to bringing you into the emotional connection to Hashem. Harish Tov Rav Tamun Gam Maisim Chatzonim. So we see three different points from Chazal that teach us that even doing small actions that maybe we don't feel connected with so much, it's a very positive thing. So let's just review for 1 second. So number one was that as long as you have good habits, Yitzhara already is one behind you. Because your habits are good. So to break a habit, Yitzhara has to come break your habit rather than challenge you to start a new action. So you're already a step ahead of Yitzhara. Number two is that as long as you're busy with anything good, as long as your life is productive, that keeps you from Avera. Because I'm too busy to do Avera, so I'm busy doing things I need to do every day. And number three, you know, I was talking to one of the boys in yeshiva today. You know, we try to have a policy in yeshiva that boys shouldn't have their cell phones on when they're in the base medrash learning. So one of the boys told me, I'm so busy in Seder I'm learning, I have no time for my cell phone. So it's not like I have to worry about it. Should I turn it on, off, put it away, not put it away? He's like, I'm so busy learning, I don't have time to deal with it anyways. So I said, great, that's what you want. So but that's the point. If you're so busy doing mitzvos and learning and even doing productive things in life, you don't have time to have other things distract you. Then number three was that the outer actions do lead to inner feeling. That's number three. But now we're going to find two sources that show us that outer actions without any inner feeling are bad. It's terrible. It's, you know, you're acting like a hypocrite in a certain sense. You know, you're giving Hashem lip service, but you're not behind it. So what are those sources? So this is Aleph. Hey, Yeshaya ha-Navi machriz. Yeshaya the Navi announces to us. Yan ki niga sha'am hazeh befiv. It says, this nation approaches me with their mouths, and they honor me with their lips. But their hearts are far from me. Their fear of Hashem is just the mitzvah of people who are trained. There's no feeling, it's just a habit, it's rote, it's routine. Very famous quote. And Yosef Lahafli, Hashem says, I'm going to do astonishingly, you know, terrible things to them. Chas v'shem. Hafli v'fela. Love the chachmas chachamim, the wise will lose their wisdom. Ubinas nevona of tistater, and the understanding will just be destroyed of those who understand. So the Pasuk in Yeshaya speaks about this concept, mitzvah nashim ilmada, very famous quote. People doing mitzvos in a way which is just habitual, which is just routine, with no feeling, and has a pretty severe punishment for that type of service of Hashem. Your hearts are far from me, and your mouths are dishonoring me. It's just lip service. And we know we find in the beginning of Yeshaya, we laid it on Shabbos Chazon in the Haftorah, Hashem loves Hilchichem. These karbonos make me sick. No, you're doing all sorts of averus. You don't really care about me or my Torah, and then you give me like a little gift. You know, you bring me a cow or something to make me feel all better. Hashem says, I despise those karbanos. They're disgusting to me because there's no feeling involved. The main part of a karban is the feeling behind it. It's not the animal. The animal was just a means to bring about feelings in a person. You know, the Ramban says, you look at the animal and just to kind of see yourself. You know, I deserve to be that animal, you know, dead on this beach, but I'm giving the animal instead of me. There's different feelings you have in bringing a karban. But if the feelings aren't there, and you're just trying to like appease Hashem, bribe Hashem, as it were, with some goats, that Hashem says, that's disgusting to me. I'm not interested. So Yeshaya HaNavi, in several places, talks about people acting in this superficial way with Hashem with no feeling. If a person does mitzvos, but does it just through, you know, it's just their routine, the Navi says, this is going to cause Klai Yisrael to lose their understanding. Shavinas hapanim, which means the destruction of any inner feeling. This seems to be an opposite source, we said before. It seems to be it's a very negative thing to serve Hashem just with the lip service and not have any feeling behind it. So that's source one on the other side of the coin. Source two. Yadua maimaro sha'avram avinu ova shalom, kemarti rak ein yiras elokim makom azeh, varguni ad var ishti. So, very famous, Avraham Avinu goes to the land of Plishtim. And he's concerned, as he was also in Mitzrayim, that they would take Sarah and kill him. So, Sarah did the trick, as she did before. I'm his sister, I'm not his wife. Right? So, Imina Chusiat. So, Avraham, when he went to Plishtim, he commented, the reason that I tricked you and told you, Avimelech, this is my sister, not my wife, is because I saw that nobody fears Hashem here, and I was concerned you'd kill me because of my wife. So that's what he tells Avimelech. So Rav Dessler explains, Avshes nagu haplishtim kitzadikim. Apparently the plishtim externally looked very righteous. They're very kind, very polite, seem very honest. It seemed like a very, you know, a very upstanding, well-run society. But Avram Avin, and that's what Avimelech says. The Kamush Kosov Agoy Gam Tzartarug. Avimelech says you're going to kill this righteous nation. Agoy Gam Tzadik. I'm a tzadik. And we don't think he's necessarily lying on the outside. It could be actually appeared like a tzaddik. It seemed like this nation seemed to be externally very nice, honest, good people. They must have acted very pleasantly. And they had derech eretz. So Avraham saw through them. Avraham saw much deeper. Avram said, "Hey, Avram Avinu, shkol zeh lo yo'el l'hapech esahusam p'nimis l'tov." Avram Avinu said, "I don't care how good you look on the outside. I smelled here there was no Yiras Hashem. On the inside, you guys were dirty, rotten people. You may have an exterior of good. Maybe you try your hardest to act good on the exterior, but I could tell on the interior nobody feared Hashem." This went to the point that he actually suspected them of murder. You know, these people were nice people. But he said, when I see that there's no inner feelings, I see all of your nice, you know, all your nice manners you're showing me are superficial. It's just on the outside. Then that person can even murder you. You know, I'm scared of murder because of that. So why is it that their outer actions didn't impact their inner feelings? If they're acting so nicely on the outside, so honestly and so sweet and so kind, then why was Avraham Avinu so concerned? Why didn't that change them on the inside? So now we have two sources to show that acting externally in a positive way, having no inner feelings, if the heart's not involved, it's a bad thing. So we have to then figure out, so what is it? Is it good, is it bad? What do we do? You know, if we're pushing ourselves to develop good routines and good habits, but we're not yet feeling them, but we want to do them anyway, is that good for us? Maybe Hashem will tell us, I don't want that. If your heart's not there, I don't want your external actions. Or maybe Hashem will say, that's great, you have good habits, I'm so proud of you. Which one will Hashem, what will Hashem tell us? So that's the question. So what Rav Dessler is going to do now, he's going to describe for us three different, we'll call it realms, of action in life. Actions that are not actions of mitzvos with full kavana behind them, and explain where they lie in terms of what's good and what's bad in Avodas Hashem. So he's going to break them into three categories. So the first category he quotes here is malacha. So there's one category of action we call malacha, work. So what is malacha? Similar, we say malacha Shabbos. On Shabbos, malacha is aser. Kechol ma'isa tircha hadorish hisrachsus vigia. So any action in life that takes focus and work and toil, we can call that malacha. So any of those actions, yesh bekocha laharchik ma'adam es machshavas ataiva, those actions, if you're busy doing work, that could take away feelings of desire from a person, like Chazal say, mishkachas avon, it causes a person to forget sin. So anybody, any work you do, whether you're taking out the trash, whether you're building a building, you're schlepping boxes, you're a plumber, you're an accountant, or you're a lawyer, anything you're doing that takes work and takes focus, that focus and that work, that helps the Yitzhahara sort of, you know, be dulled down a little bit, to take a back seat. But these things usually are focused on the material world. So they also will distance from the person a sense of spirituality and hold them back from learning Torah. So let's take an example of somebody. Let's say somebody works very hard all day as a construction worker. So this can keep them out of trouble. That much we know it'll do, but it won't make him a spiritual person. I mean, he can be spiritual from other parts of his life, but the work in construction is not going to create spiritual feelings in the person. It's a very physical work, focused in the physical world, and it won't draw them closer to Torah or to spirituality, but it'll keep them out of trouble.
Can you use an example more likely for a woman?
Like I said, other construction work.
Next time.
Yeah, I don't know anything. I mean, really any job a person takes on within this world. I don't know what your profession was or is, but
staying home and watching children.
Okay, so that's all. Even that, you know, watching children means that you're cleaning up their toys, you're changing diapers, you're cleaning up the house, you're doing dishes, you're cooking meals, you're taking them to appointments, taking them to play dates. So that just keeps a person very busy and focused. Right, so that's will keep you out of trouble because you're focused on the job at hand. Happens to be, I think, raising children, there is a spiritual element to it as well. So it's not exactly his example. He's talking more about physical labor. But the truth is, you know, anything a person does which keeps them busy and focused, even in the material world, keeps them out of trouble. Notice when you speak about, a teenager who's having trouble in school. So often it's because, you know, they don't like working and they don't feel like doing the work in school. But you give the kid a job, they're very talented and responsible, right? And so often you find these like kids who are on the street doing terrible things, but you give them a job and they clean up their act because now my day is filled with something productive. I don't have to look for something else to do anymore. And therefore they're doing good things at that point. So we're not even talking spirituality. We're talking just about keeping out of trouble. And work does that. Being busy does that for a person. That's step one. But now he takes it to the next step. There's something called Torah V'Derech Eretz. Torah V'Derech Eretz is a phrase that's really made famous by Rav Hirsch and Rav Hirsch's Hashkafa. Torah V'Derech Eretz, you know, we're not going to get exactly into that phrase in its many aspects, but it's the ability to incorporate Torah with actions within the physical world, understanding the physical world, that all takes on a spiritual element to it. Meaning the first paragraph here, Malacha, was that I'm doing physical labor that has no spiritual element to it at all, but it's good for me because it keeps me out of trouble. Torah V'Derech Eretz is that as I am involved in the world, that also can become spiritual. So he gives some examples. I'll give some more. But the first thing he says, B'yorim shon and nitnu musag zeh. This concept of Torah V'Derech Eretz has many explanations to it. Acha koleya b'yoser hu zeh shogun v'chaim v'lajim. You know, the most far-reaching example is Rav Chaim V'lajin's example. What's his example? Shapirish masayef haTorah im derech eretz. He explains, when is Torah with derech eretz good for a person? Kesh derech eretz gam hi Torah. That's when the derech eretz becomes Torah. So what does that mean? How can your derech eretz, how can your involvement in the material world become Torah itself? So we give an example here. Mazel Hashonah, this is exact wording of Rav Chaim V'lajin. Rava Amar, I'll tell you, of Rava, you know, the famous great rabbi in the Gemara, he told his students, "Biyomei Nisan, Biyomei Tishrei, Lo Tischazu Kamai. I don't want to see you in yeshiva. I don't want to see you in the Beis Medrash in Nisan or Tishrei." So Rava was one of the Gedolei Hador. I'm sure he had fantastic students who were also themselves, you know, great scholars in Gedolei Hador. And he threw them out of yeshiva 2 months a year. I don't want to see you here in Nisan or in Tishrei. Rest of the year, come learn, happy to have you here. But those months, get out of here. Why is that? Because I don't want you to be burdened with making a parnasa the rest of the year. I mean, the explanation in that Gemara is that those 2 months are major farming months. Nisan was the planting season, I believe, and Tishrei is the harvesting season, depending on what you're growing, but there are two big farming months. So he said, if you don't take care of your farm during the right times of year, then what's going to happen? You're going to have no money. And you're going to come to yeshiva and you're going to try to learn, but you're going to be so burdened by the need for parnasa, either you're going to have to leave yeshiva or you're not going to be focused on your learning. Your family is going to need you. It's not going to work out well. So I'd rather you take off 2 months a year, put your focus into your farms, succeed in your production of the produce that you're making, and then you'll have savings so you can come to yeshiva and learn, and you won't have to worry about it. That's what he tells them. So it was a pretty good, you know, 2 months working, 10 months learning plan. You know, many people out there would love to be able to do that. It's not so practical these days. Actually knew somebody once who was a Rebbe in yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael during the year. He worked as a lawyer in America in the summers. So a lawyer's salary for 2 months in America in the summer can probably get you by a year in Israel, you know, if you're living at a certain standard. So that's what he did, and he did pretty well with it. But Rava's point is that, so those 2 months that they had, we'll get to Rav Chaim V'lajin's point in a second. Actually, let's read his point, and then I'll explain another point from this. So when they're working those 2 months on their farm, do you think that these great students only focus for 2 months on farming and didn't learn the Torah at all? This batlu mamish tal Torah? It's not true. Even they're involved in their chayisha, in their material livelihood, their focus was still on Torah, on halacha. So I want to maybe give an explanation of this and how, I mean, it can apply on many levels. So there is a level certainly of great people that even as they're on their farm, their minds are thinking Torah thoughts. That's one level that's probably beyond most of us, but that's one level. But there's a level where I think there's two other applications of this. Number one is that when they're farming, if the goal of that farming is, I want to get back to learn yeshiva, I want to learn Torah, but I need to go through these 2 months of work so I can do it responsibly. So those 2 months themselves become spiritual because those 2 months are what support their 10 months of learning. Let's take other examples. You know, anytime a person goes out to work and makes parnasa, so one way to look at it is that I need money. The other way is that, let's say, I'm supporting a family, or I need to give tzedakah, or I need to pay my shul dues, or I need to pay yeshiva tuitions. So when you go to work with that attitude, the work itself becomes holy because it's there with the purpose of supporting spiritual purposes. A person can go to sleep at night, and you can say, I'm tired, I'm going to sleep. Or you can say, I need to sleep so tomorrow I can serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I can daven, I'll have patience, I won't be angry because I'll have enough sleep. I won't start lashing out at my friends or my husband or my children. So then suddenly that sleep becomes a mitzvah. This is brought down in different svarim. That sleep becomes a mitzvah now because that sleep is not just some time I'm going to sleep. That sleep actually translates into tomorrow I'll serve Hashem better because I got a good night's sleep tonight. So you're taking something that's very physical, very material, and you're converting it into avodas Hashem. So that's one aspect. There's another aspect of this which I think is very significant. Rav Yerucham Levavitz, the Mashkiach of the Mir Yeshiva, he writes in one place that a person can, let's say, go home and sweep the floor. So one attitude is, by 4:30 I have to sweep it. And you can grumble or not grumble, but that's, you know, it's a dirty floor. The other attitude is that there's a mita called Seder V'Nikayon. I need to make a home that is clean and organized, because if I live in a clean, organized home, number one, I will function better. Number two, my home now is a place that's fit for the Shechina of Hashem to dwell. Number three, let's say it's for Shabbos. Now, it's a place now that can honor the Shabbos. And you can have this spiritual intent in your sweeping the floor. So it can be training you in your midos. I'm sweeping the floor because I need to learn how to be more organized and clean person. And it can create a home, which is a home for Ashras HaShechina. So then that sweeping the floor can become a spiritual activity of growth and of bringing more Shechina into your home because you swept the floor. So that's Torah Derech Eretz, because you're involved in Derech Eretz. This is a very physical, everyday activity. It's just a household chore. You take out the trash, it could be because I need to take out the trash, or I need my home to be a place that's fit for Hashem to dwell. I need my home to be a place where people can feel happy and welcome. And then the taking out the trash becomes a spiritual activity. And then you're training yourself in that midah. That's what you're doing. So anything you get involved in the physical world, Hashem gives us a world that's supposed to train us in how to be the best people we can be. And every activity in this world that's a good activity, there's something to learn from it. And if you take out the lesson from the activity, so that's just reinforcing in yourself a certain mida. And it can be true anytime. You could sit in a waiting room at a doctor's office, and you can get annoyed that my appointment was 25 minutes ago, and where are they? Or you can say, I'm learning how to grow in my mida of patience. You know, CE, not TS, but, right. But that's the, that, so, I mean, that's a hard thing to think about, because you're frustrated that you're waiting for your appointment and it's late. But that can train you into being a more patient person. That's what it can do. And then that suddenly has developed in yourself the spiritual midah, rather than just be a situation where I have to wait. Same thing when you're stuck in traffic. And you can apply this in so many areas of life, because every situation you're in, there is something to learn from it. If you take what's there and learn from the situation, then you've grown spiritually from it. And if not, then it just remains something in the physical world. So this is Torah Derech Eretz. It's that you're involved in things in life that are really mundane, everyday activities or chores, but yet they can be converted to the spiritual based on your thought process behind it. Where the attitude is, this helps me become a better servant of Hashem, it develops my midos, helps my home become a place where the Shekhinah can dwell. There's so many different applications of this. So we would call that, that would all go into the category of Torah Derech Eretz, the way that he's explaining it. Chazal quote the pasuk. It says that the menachos, the flower offerings, are mixed with oil. And Chazal see in that a mashal, that the Torah needs to be mixed with good deeds. So it sounds like we're comparing the flour to Torah and the oil to good deeds. And that's why you mix the oil into the flour. Like it says in Avos, as we quoted, Yafatam Torah Derech Eretz, Shehiyah Shneim Mishkachas Avon, Torah is good with everyday activities, because the two of them together cause sin to be forgotten. Heavy lemincha, and that becomes your mincha. A mincha offering is an offering to Hashem. And when your Torah is mixed with Maisim Tovim, here we're talking about just everyday activities, then that's an offering to Hashem itself. So through this, you can come closer to Lishma. You come closer to doing everything with the right intentions, because everything can then be flipped into Avodas Hashem. So the attitude of life that we need to have is that really everything could be spiritual if the focus is right. We mentioned before the idea of raising children. I mean, raising children is essentially spiritual. You're raising, you know, the human beings, the neshamas that you brought into the world. And beyond that, every single action that you do, you're trying to raise another person who's going to bring good into the world. Now, that's a very spiritual activity. But many parents, on a daily basis, when it comes to washing the floor and changing diapers and doing dishes, you don't feel the spiritual elements of it. But often you step back and think, or look at the long-term picture, and look at the person produced. You say, wow, I produced a human being that's adding so much to the world. That's a very spiritual feeling. That's being similar to Hashem in that way. So that's Torah V'Derech Eretz. Now the third category of action. So the first category, again, was just everyday mundane work, just keeps you busy and out of trouble. The second category was the everyday mundane task could actually become spiritual based on the intent behind it. Now the third category is Shalul Shema. This is doing, Shalul Shema means you're doing mitzvos, or learning Torah, not for the sake, its own sake, but for other motivations. So the Lishma is a big discussion exactly how to define it, but let's just put it in simple terms. Doing a mitzvah Lishma means I'm doing it because this is Hashem's will. That's why I'm doing it. Lo Lishma means I'm doing it because I want to fit in with my friends, I want to be honored by others, I want to feel a good sense of self-respect, I enjoy the feeling myself. Those are all Lo Lishmas, because it's not purely for Hashem's sake, it's doing it because there's other elements that I gain from the mitzvah too. So that's Lo Lishma. So let's explain a little bit about action shel lishma. Yeshnam is a shtei madregos. There's two levels of this. Harishona shel lishma soseres lipanim. Sometimes lishma is destructive of a person's inner feelings. Sometimes it helps you become more of a feeling person. So what's the difference? So now he's going to get really to the core to answer our shiloh from before. We said there's so many contradictory sources when it comes to everyday actions with no feeling behind them. What's the distinction? What's the dividing line? So we've already given two approaches to when actions are good. Actions are good because keep you out of trouble and because they could become spiritual. But now he's going to get to the real core of the difference. Because he says, I'll be shown them are on one kind of lo lishma. It says that will cause v'avda chachmas chachamav. It'll cause the destruction of a person's wisdom. It's a destructive act to do something that's so superficial without any feeling. But on the second type of lo lishma, we see it as a positive thing that will bring you to the right intentions. What's the difference? Because now he says a very important line. So the difference is very clear. And it's the following point. Does the person deep down have a sense of Yirah Shemayim? We discussed last week how the basis of tshuva is Yirah Shemayim. You have to have a sense of Hashem as a presence in the world, of Hashem's greatness, and how serious it is to recognize Hashem in our lives. If that feeling is there, so if we do things that are lo lishma, ultimately the basis of who we are is based on the fact there's a God in the world that I fear and I revere. And therefore, eventually, all my actions will bring me back to the right focus because it's coming from the right foundation. If a person has no Yirah Shemayim, so then everything is just basically just a facade. It's lip service. It's externals. It's superficial. But there's no core in the person that's leading towards good. And therefore, those superficial actions, Hashem says, are destructive. You know, and you can come on the inside to anything. And that's what he says. Davar's Pirush Behedja of Ramavinu. So Avram says, "Rakin Yirso Kim Baraguni." Avram says the Plishtim are going to kill me because they have no Yiras Hashem. But they were kind, they were friendly, they were nice, they were cordial, they helped out. But there's no Yiras Shemayim. So that means that everything is just superficial, and there's nothing anchoring them when you get past that external facade. So once you get to the inside, the people had no inner feelings of any sort. Nothing was holding them back. Inside, they were just, you know, animals, they were dirty, they were rotten, they were corrupt. But if the inside of a person is, I have Yiras Hashem, ultimately I want to do what's right, it's hard for me to connect with my actions. Right now I'm doing them because of other, you know, other reasons, other motivations. But deep down on the inside, I have that anchor of Yiras Hashem. So then they're positive, because it's all going to put into the right framework. And once the anchor is there, you end up going in the right direction. Well, if the anchor's not there, then these actions are considered terrible actions, which can cause a person to really go astray. It's better to have somebody who is corrupt and acts corrupt than somebody who's corrupt and acts nice. You know, that's called a con artist. You know, so the problem, if the person really is a nice person who has external trouble, that's okay. You know, everyone has their challenges. If the person's a corrupt person who acts nice on the outside, that person you want to stay away from, very far away from. That's the worst person to be around. If a person has in their hearts the strong foundations of Yir Shemayim, Gam Maisim Achitzoniyim, even the outer actions, Yu'il B'chol B'chinos, to help them on all levels. Bein Katris Me'ra, whether it's as a shield before evil, as we said, Bein Kesoris L'chizuk Pnimi, whether it be to inspire the inside of the person. Abliya Sodos Eile, Eina Maisim Achitzoniyim, El Merchikim Esa Adam Yimahuso, Amitis. But if you don't have any internal feelings of Yir Shemayim, so all these external actions do is they fool yourself and fool others, and they bring you further from your goal in life. So that's the bottom line in terms of how he defines the difference. Yir Shemayim is the difference. If the core is Yir Shemayim, then developing good habits, doing small acts, even if they're just superficial, keeping yourself busy with things which are good, even though you feel nothing for them, is very good because it'll bring you back in the right direction because you have that anchor of Yir Shemayim behind you. But if you don't have that, so then basically you're living as a hypocrite. You're deceiving others around you. You're deceiving yourself because you think you're a pretty good person, but deep down there's nothing holding you back from doing terrible things. So at that point we've lost it, and that's where Yeshaya HaNavi says it's a destructive act. And that's where Avraham Avinu says this person may even murder me for my wife, even though they look so nice and friendly on the outside. So if we were to apply this, so he'll apply a little more, but apply this a little bit to Elul. So what I want to say is the following. You know, we hopefully have developed in ourselves some level of Yir Shemayim. That's always, and that's step one. I always said step one in tshuva is that sense. It's the sense there's Yir Shemayim in person. I recognize that I need to, I have to see there's a God in the world, and my relationship with God is important. It's essential to who I am, and I have to have a certain fear and reverence of that reality. Once you have that, so when you start developing good habits, it only leads to good, because it keeps you focused, it helps you be one step ahead of the Yitzhahara, it keeps you from this being distracted by other sorts of desires and taivos and things that distract us from doing what's right, and those things ultimately will go and become spiritual. But if Yir Shemayim, if that Yisod is not there, if you don't have the foundation yourself of Yir Shemayim, then these things are liable to lead us astray. So the vote in Elul really is to do these small acts. So let's ask the question. Let's go. We asked them in the beginning, what's the point of keeping Pas Yisrael for a week? You know, I'm not going to do it after, I'm not going to do it before. So there's other reasons why. But one idea is that what I'm doing during that week is that I'm saying I'm going to be extra busy this week with doing good things. I'm going to have an extra focus in my life on serving Hashem, because then what I'm doing is that's going to bring me to better feelings. It's going to bring me to a more sincere service of Hashem. It's going to keep me more focused on serving Hashem. And even afterwards, I'm not going to do it. Sefer Teshuva is such an important time. I want to keep that focus. And Elul in general, we hope to take on things in Elul on ourselves, and we hope they last. But even things that we do, that we know maybe they're not going to last, maybe it's temporary, but those small acts, even when temporary, make a big difference in the big picture. And if those small acts can at least help us focus more and become more connected to what we do on a daily basis, those small acts can help us be more connected to our regular habits, then they've done a lot. They've accomplished a tremendous thing. So we should all be able to develop these small acts. And so next week we'll see, he discusses more about how to take these things on and what to do with them. We'll stop there.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Who was that marshal of the man who wanted to marry the woman, and he was very evil, and she wouldn't marry him, so he put on a mask of a friendly man, and he kept coming to woo her, and somebody came and said, after a while, somebody came and said, that's not really...